In our season of Epiphany, we focus on discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? And each week we'll be looking at different aspects of discipleship. And so it's fitting that today we get a call story of the original disciples and their decision or their calling to follow Jesus. And in in the Gospel of John, there's a unique feature that you don't see in the other Gospel accounts, but it makes a lot of sense. We start with John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who's in the wilderness baptizing, preparing people for the coming of Jesus, preparing people for the Messiah. And he says, I baptize you with water, but one who is greater than me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John was very popular. It's in the Gospel of Matthew that thousands of people were coming out to see him and being baptized, and even some of the religious leaders who presumably would have their own agendas were coming out at least out of curiosity. And so John had disciples. He had people who were following him. They were following his teachings, listening closely to him. They, of course, themselves were baptized. And they knew that the primary teaching of John was that one who is greater than me is coming after me. And get ready. Be prepared. Be on watch. And so when John sees Jesus, he says, there is the Lamb of God who comes to take away our sin. He actually says that twice. And at the second time, if you noticed, the disciples of John, those who had been with him for at least some amount of time, when Jesus says, look, there is the Lamb of God, they literally go from being followers of John to following Jesus. And I mean literally. They start following Jesus. And he looks back and goes, like, basically, who are you? What do you want? He says to them, what are you looking for? Which is a very important question. And depending on how closely they were clinging to John's words, John's teaching, what they would have said is exactly what John said. We are looking for the Messiah. We are waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. And our teacher said, you were the one. And so Jesus invites them and says, come and see. And for one day, these two disciples of John are under the care and tutelage of Jesus. And after one day, it says Andrew singled out. After one day, Andrew comes to the conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah for himself and goes to find his brother Simon. We have met the Messiah. All of God's promises have come true. And when Jesus sees Simon, he says, you are to be called Cephas, which is a Greek word for rock, or in Latin, Peter. He gets a new name upon his first meeting with Jesus. Jesus looks at Simon and says, you are to now be called Peter, or rock. And we know from other passages that Peter is the rock upon which the church is built. That in Simon, Jesus sees not just a follower, but a future leader. And so the season of Epiphany features these stories, these ancient stories, these call stories, these discipleship stories, and we ask ourselves, what does that mean for us? And I just want to start with the basics. What does it mean to be a follower? What does it mean to be a student? And I think the difference between those are important, although they're shades of difference. But to be a student means, of course, that we have a teacher and we learn. But to be a follower also entails that we're not just learning from our teacher, we're trying to follow in their footsteps. And I was thinking of our own experiences and our primary teachers in our life are our parents. We grow up from the time we're born to the formative years of our childhood and youth watching our parents. What they say, what they do. And sometimes in life, we follow the same path of our parents. And occasionally, we make other choices saying, this is something I don't want to emulate. But how many of you have ever had the experience of someone meeting you, they know your parents and they meet you and they say, you're just like your mom or you're just like your dad? How many have ever had that experience? Margaret, I'm going to call you out. I had not met Margaret's mom until we met in the hospital. And I went to see Carol in the hospital, and I took me about half a second. I'm like, oh, that's why Margaret's the way she is. They're just the same energy, the same enthusiasm, the same vivaciousness. I was like, oh, this makes total sense. In my own life, I've had people who meet, in fact, Alex, Jasmine's spouse, met my parents over the summer, and Alex said, after seeing my mom's facial expressions, she goes, that now makes sense to me, because we have the same facial expressions. I watched my mom's face, of course, like we all do, and all of a sudden, my facial expressions mirror my own mother's. If you like my puns, thank my dad. He and his seven siblings, or six siblings, did puns as a family, as just a regular thing. And I fought it for many, many years, and then I realized that was part of who I am. And so, and Kelly's family, all the women in Kelly's family, they all have the exact same laugh. That's not genetics, that's emulation, right? And so we learn. And whether we know it or not, we learn from our parents because we're watching them, we're studying them, we're looking up to them in many cases. And our voice, our patterns, and even our choices can be shared through that relationship. That's what Jesus wants for us. That level of following, where we're so connected to him that we begin to see the world like Jesus. That when we are so connected and following Jesus, that's what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, that the same characteristics of Jesus become our own. That the words that we speak, the actions that we take, would be so imbued with the presence of Christ that they come out of us. Now, that level of following is a lifelong pursuit. We don't become followers of Jesus by coming to church once a week. We don't become followers of Jesus by just listening to the pastor preach. We become followers of Jesus when we are in the Word, when we're reading the Scriptures, when we're devoting our life to prayer and acts of kindness and service, when we look to the example of how Jesus treated people and find our inspiration and encouragement. Years and years ago, and maybe some of you had one, there are those bracelets, WWJD. What would Jesus do? How many of you had one of those bracelets? A couple people. It's kind of corny, and maybe it made a lot of money for the person who made those bracelets. But I think at the core, that's a question that disciples should be asking. In this situation, what would Jesus do? Because we're faced with all kinds of choices, and there are all kinds of things that inform our choices, some of which is our childhood, which can be positive or not. But to be connected to Jesus, to be a follower, such that we're grounded in our faith, and our first question is, in this situation, what would Jesus have me do? And as I look at all of the stories of Jesus, what I see is a pattern of behavior. And that's part of what it means to be a follower, is that we're so closely connected to those teachings that we discover patterns. And so what we see in the behaviors of Jesus as he's consistently including the excluded, that when other people judge someone, a group or an individual, Jesus sees fit to include them. Jesus offers mercy and grace to those whose life is fallen away from God. He doesn't offer judgment. He offers mercy. When we look at the patterns and behaviors of Jesus, he calls out injustice and hypocrisy, particularly among those who are religious and those entrusted with leadership in the community. They get a particular level of scrutiny. Called to be more. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. Jesus' strongest argument for what it means to be a follower is to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the foundation. So what would it mean in our life, individually and collectively, if we were really living as followers of Jesus? I think there'd be a lot less hate in this world, more love and compassion, certainly more kindness, and hopefully, as a byproduct of that, more harmony and peace between people. But maybe more than anything, there would be hope. Because when we're grounded in our relationship with God, despite the challenges and difficulties, when we're grounded in our relationship with Christ, when we're truly abiding in those words, how could we help but be filled with hope? Because we believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world, to set the whole thing right, to create peace between God and humanity, to wipe away all of our brokenness, and to establish the kingdom of God here. As followers of Jesus, we're encouraged, yes, to dig into the Word, to support and encourage each other, but to hold fast to hope, to the promise of God's presence here and now, and God's promise of eternal life. As followers of Jesus, we are to be people of hope people of promise. And then when people see us, they see the very light of Christ. May it be so.